we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program here on this fine Thursday morning. We are so thankful that you have chosen to make this broadcast a part of your day and your spiritual journey. And I just want to start off today by saying thank you. We had a really interesting thing that happened here a couple of weeks ago. We happened to be out having dinner with my son for his birthday, and got to have dinner with him, his wife, his son. And while we were there, he was talking with a person that was also in the restaurant, and they happened to interact together at work on occasion. This person's a vendor, and so they've had some interaction, and came over, and he introduced himself, and he's a listener to the radio program, knows somebody that attends our church, has actually visited our church on occasion, and ended up being a real wonderful opportunity to meet a listener. And so I just wanted to say thank you out there to the gentleman. I'm not going to name your name here on the program, although I could. Just wanted to say thank you for coming up and introducing yourself. It was a real pleasure to meet you. And thank you for being a blessing to the body of Christ here in Brevard County and to us as well. Thank you for being a blessing. So with that being said, we're going to be turning to the Word of God today. This is Labor Day weekend. It comes really early this year. So I believe that September 2nd is the Sunday. September 3rd would be the holiday itself. And so many of you are probably going away for a long weekend. Our worship leader is going to be away this weekend. Here a couple of weeks ago, man, she was, we had probably the most anointed praise and worship service we've had, coupled at the same time with what was a powerful presentation of the Word of God. Our church was just electric that day with the presence of God. This weekend she's going to be away, so they are stuck with me. So y'all pray for our congregation this week. We're going to do our best. And, you know, I've got a presbyter. He said, you know, whenever I have a guest speaker, he said, I get the same result no matter what the speaker is like. If the speaker comes in and, they don't do quite as well, they people come up and say, Pastor, we just want to thank you for being our pastor and, you know, bringing the Word in such a powerful way week in and week out. He said, if the person comes in and they just hit a grand slam, said the people come up and say, Pastor, thank you for being a pastor who cares about us and brings in such wonderful speakers. And so this week we're going to praise and worship the Lord because we are thankful for his presence. I'm sure that they will be very thankful as well when Heidi gets back from vacation and comes back ready to lead us into the presence of the Lord. So a busy weekend on tap this weekend. And if you are away, maybe you don't have a church home, we would love to have you visit with us. I don't try and overinflate or anything like that. You know, we run between 50 and 60 is generally where we are at. With attendance. And if you would love to, maybe you like a smaller church like ours where you can build relationships and you can grow. I've been doing a series on revival this summer that, and I'm going to be concluding that series this week, or I might have one more sermon. I'm still praying about that one, but I know what I'm preaching this week. It is on revival, And I would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. Our community needs more faithful believers, not fewer, and more engaged members, as in actively serving and ministering in the body of Christ than ever before. So if you feel like you would benefit from being a part of Merit Assembly of God, we'd love to have you come out and be a part of that. We're going to take you back to Matthew chapter 5 today. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount. We're not going to break this down with a word-for-word study or anything along those lines, but we are talking about Jesus when he came, that he was elevating the understanding of what God was expecting out of humanity. And I've prefaced this by saying a lot of times many people think that Jesus came and the standard was done away with because he came and fulfilled all righteousness. He did come to fulfill all righteousness, but he also came so that you and I would have a greater understanding and that our behavior would be elevated, not lowered. So let's get to the word. Wanted to say thank you to WMIE 91.5 and WWBC 1510 AM for making this program possible. Verse number 27. By the way, my name's Bob Arthurs. I don't think I said that today. Pastor Merit Assembly of God on Grove Street, just north of 520, a couple of blocks. So, verse number 27. Let me preface this by saying, I love you. I'm here to share the word of God. I'm not here to beat you up or to make you feel worse about your life. I'm here to let you know that you've got a Savior who wants to come and make your life successful and glorious and blessed. And so as I'm sharing these, I'll just tell you, today's broadcast, tomorrow's broadcast are some very challenging things in our modern society. So I'm just going to share perspective with you. I'm going to share it anointed as I can and allow God to bring correction, conviction, and healing to your heart. So verse number 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So today we are going to be talking about the ever-popular subject of adultery. That's not a popular subject. I was shocked here a few years ago to learn that there are actually internet dating sites that are out there that are purely designed to facilitate adultery. That's mind blowing to me. That just does not compute. And I've heard some pretty brazen things. You know, I've heard about people who are very happily married and yet they feel like they are entitled to go out and commit adultery on a regular basis with an unlimited number of other people in their life and feel no guilt or remorse about it. That's pretty brazen in my perspective. What was also shocking about that website was that there were preachers and pastors and Christians that were caught up in that activity. And that's not supposed to happen. So let me take you back and we'll look at this. It says he starts off with the original standard, and it says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So that that looking there, that is a present active verb. That is a person who is currently acting out with those with that action. Jesus said, you know, before it was you shall not commit. That was an act. Now he says, you know what? We're going to elevate that. I'm going to bring greater understanding to you because the act just doesn't happen all by itself. There's something that leads up to that. And he goes back and he says, it has to do with a look. It has to do with that first glance, that second look, that third stare, that obsession that it becomes with. It all happens. It has a beginning point. And Jesus doesn't want to just look at it and say, okay, the ultimate act is where sin happened. He said, I need to take you back a little bit further because it involves a look at a woman to lust for her. And that word lust there, let me give you a little bit of insight into the meaning of that word. That is also an active thing. It means to set your heart upon, to long for, to covet, desire, to lust, or to crave. And so Jesus said, whenever you are presently looking with the desire of setting your heart upon something that is an ungodly desire, he said, you're finding yourself in a bad place spiritually. See, here adultery is more than just sexual unfaithfulness. There are many people who think, well, I haven't committed adultery because I haven't been sexually unfaithful to my wife. But Jesus brings understanding to us here to let us know that the action that is culminated with unfaithfulness, it actually begins in the heart, with a craving, with a heart desire that is not for something that God would have you to crave for. Let me see if I can find. I wrote this down preparing for this broadcast. This is a Bob Arthur's original quote. So, lust is an ungodly desire that is trespassing in our heart, where God wants a godly desire to live. Lust is an ungodly desire that is trespassing in our heart, where God wants a godly desire to live. And I've told you many times that the secret to overcoming temptation is for there to be a work that is done in our heart. You see, Jesus goes on and he talks about the eye, he talks about the hand. And before that, let's look at that concept of adultery. Commit adultery means an act with a paramour. Figuratively, it means apostasy, which is to an abandoning of the faith. So in my understanding, adultery is much more than a sexual act. It is much more than just a physical interaction. Adultery is anything that comes between you and your spouse, you and your God. There are many people who commit adultery on their spouse with their work. There are many people who commit adultery with their spouse with their hobbies. There are many people who commit adultery on their spouse with their addictions. They would rather be with an inanimate object that is controlling their life than they would to be with their spouse. And so the act itself, it begins in the heart, but the heart needs a vehicle for that lust, that craving to manifest. And so Jesus talks about two of them here. And the first one is the eye. The eye isn't the source of the problem. The heart is. The eye is the vehicle. It was what ensnared David. David was up walking on his roof. That homes did not have indoor plumbing. And so many people would, in that ancient culture, would use the roof of their home as the place that they took their baths. Their homes then were not the 3,000 square feet mansions that we live in today, or some people live in, I don't. They weren't those massive things. Many times they were very, very tiny. All of the rooms kind of, they were open floor plan before open floor plan. I mean, they were open floor plan personified. I mean, there, if you had a curtain that ran across, that was a dividing point there. And so the Bathsheba was up on the roof bathing, and David did live in a palace. And his roof was higher, and he watched her as she bathed, and I'm sure she wasn't even giving any thought to what was going on. But the look caused a second look, caused a third stare, caused an invitation, caused an action, caused sin that led to murder. And it all happened not because of Bathsheba's heart, but because of David's heart. And so we are called not to be an adulterous people. We are called to be a faithful people. So the eye is the vehicle, and Jesus goes and he says, pluck it out. Now I want to tell you this. Don't go physically harm yourself. If you have an addiction, listen, everything in this world, the New Testament says, is about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. So that vehicle, many times for adultery, is the eye. It is watching things. It is staring at things. That's why there is such a push for a modern society to get you and I addicted with our eyeballs to something on the computer that there shouldn't be on there, shouldn't be watching. It might be on television. It might be a magazine or whatever. It's all designed to displace a godly desire so that the devil can plant an ungodly desire there for it to trespass. So the solution is not to go out and harm yourself, but the solution is to not give Satan the vehicle, a vehicle, any vehicle to undermine your relationship with God or your relationship with your spouse. So just don't do it. Don't have the package on your television that is providing you the snare that is capturing you over and over and over again. Get rid of the television if you have to. And then say, God, would you work in my heart? I don't want that streaming into my home. I don't want that filth occupying the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the word there, offense, is scandalizai. You and I, we've got to make sure that we do not live as an offended people. Here it said, let me see if I can find it here real quick. I'm not seeing it here right now. I apologize. I should have making a better notation there. Let me do say this. If it says in verse number 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. I would like to encourage you to do a spiritual profitability analysis and you know, I just did this a couple of weeks ago, three or four weeks ago. There was something, wasn't bad, wasn't, you know, horrible. It just wasn't profitable. It wasn't spiritually profitable. And I said, you know what? That's not profitable. You do know that businesses do this all the time, right? There's an analysis and say, okay, this is profitable. This isn't profitable. Let's give this more space. Let's give this less space. And so you and I, we need to allow things that are unprofitable in our life. We need to be willing to let those things go so that spiritually profitable things can take place. By the way, when it comes to adultery and with the visual entrapment that goes on with society, guys, I will tell you that you have been set up for that, because things, you and I, as men, are visually captivated creatures. The things that we see, I'm a visual learner. I learn how to fix things by watching videos, not by reading manuals. And so we're not supposed to have our eye controlled by our sin nature. We're supposed to have our eye fixed upon Jesus. We're supposed to have our eye constantly being, having positive input from Him, so that we're not ensnared in sin. Instead, we are victorious over it. In verse number 29, Jesus makes the connection between ungodly behavior and being cast into hell. With that as the reality, I want you to understand that it's not just a flippant thing. It's not like, oh, well, everybody these days is doing it. That's not the standard. The standard is pleasing God and allowing Him to give us victory. Jesus is coming and saying, look, it's not, okay, you can do everything up to this point, and then once you cross that line, then it's sin. He said, there's a lot of steps that take place before you get to that red line, and you want to make sure that you don't cross into the territory where thoughts and looks become action. In verse number 30, the vehicle isn't the eye, it's the hand. So you and I, we cannot just treat the symptoms, we have to treat the source. In order for us to deal with the adultery situation, we've got to make sure that we deal with the heart situation. Because the heart controls the eye, the heart controls the hand, the heart controls the money, the heart controls everything about us. And we are supposed to have our heart set upon God. We are supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. The devil will try and create a sense of dissatisfaction with the things that God has provided, so that we will chase things that are going to be unsatisfying completely. By the way, in Psalm 51 talks about David and his response to being caught in adultery and actually having someone murdered to try and cover that up. Cover-ups are nothing new. They've been going on a long time. But when Nathan confronted him, I mean, you talk about a man of holy boldness. How would you like to go confront the king and say, you are guilty and your current actions have set you up for a future of misery? I wouldn't like being that guy. But when Nathan confronts him, he confronts him and he says this, and if everything that God had provided for you was not enough, He would have provided even more. The thing is, it's God that determines our level of enough. It's God that determines our level of enough. Too many times we want to be the one that defines that term. Well, God, I'm not happy. And if I'm not happy, ain't nobody going to be happy, and you're not going to be happy. Everybody's going to be miserable. because of that. And I'm telling you that whenever we become the definer of what is enough, our heart is set up for a fall. One more verse that I love is, he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Don't chase a fantasy. Don't chase a myth, thinking that you are going to find something. I watch people in society. I'm a huge observer of people. Not just that I interact with, but as far as social activity goes. And there are all sorts of people, and they have still have not got down to the root issue that it's their heart that's malfunctioning. It's not their spouse that's malfunctioning. Okay? Lust creates that sense of dissatisfaction. Every study that has ever been done shows that pornography has a detrimental effect upon marriages. Don't provide a vehicle. Don't provide your eyes. Don't provide the magazines. Don't provide the movie experiences. Don't provide any of that sort of stuff that is going to accommodate a lust that is going to lead to spiritual apostasy. Another thing I will tell you is this. Again, this is not easy. This is not one of those things that people want to hear. But fantasy is fantasy. Reality is reality. And don't confuse the two. Don't confuse the two. Thank God for the reality that you have. And don't be willing to surrender God's provision for you while you go chase after some fantasy that the devil has for you. And so what Jesus is dealing with here in verse 29 and 30 is, or 20, 27, 28, 29, and 30 is, you can either be fixated on dealing with the symptom, or you can be dealing with the heart transformation. Allow God to change our hearts. He is looking for us to be a faithful people because He is a faithful God. Don't be providing the vehicle. Don't be providing your eyes or your hands or your finances or any of that sort of stuff. Make sure that you have the boundaries around your heart and say, God, would you work in my heart so that I demonstrate faithfulness, the faithfulness of God to those around me through my marriage. That's what God is really looking for. He's looking for a faithful people. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.